Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info Lagos. Thank you for joining us. We welcome you to the last 1 hour of the show, the Morning Crossfire. For some technical issues, we couldn't bring you the news for one reason or the other, but we sincerely appreciate your understanding. At 9 o'clock, we'll bring you the headlines. 4 minutes past the hour. We're live on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. We're also live on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. Week in, week out, we have been following up with our promise to bring closer to you your candidates in next year's general election. We featured virtually most of the major parties because we threw open the invitation that if you're a candidate and you'd like to come and interact with the people, so you can reach out to us and then we'll take you in. By the time campaign starts, we'll have to pay. You'll pay us. Now it's free invite. Now you did not come. If you want to come for campaign now, you now say, please reduce money. We'll not reduce money because this one now is free. You're not sure. Well, thanks to those that have been courageous enough to have come to the studio to have said and engaged with you. That's to show you those that are serious and those that are maybe planning to be serious. Talking about being serious, the Road to 2023 series is quite a very, very deliberate, serious attempt at getting you very, very close to your candidates. So you get to know their plans, you get to assess their mental capacity, you get to, you know, assess what they've got planned for you, how they're critical thinkers or they're not. All of those things are just the things that we think that you should watch out for when we interact with them on this show. So we are doing the same thing today on the Crossfire because I have my guests already seated here in this studio. But before I bring him on, you know, we play this game Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It's called Treasure Hunt. So we have this treasure hidden on our mobile app. If you are the first to find it, you're going to win 5,000 naira, 5K. We do this three times across all our shows, you know, every week. So what you're looking for today is a clickable picture of a ballot box. Now, once you find it, click on it. If it doesn't pop up, then that's not the real one. Make sure you find a clickable one. Once you click, something pops up, then you fill in your details. Be the first to complete the entire process and you win 5,000 there. No jury there. We'll always see the timestamps on at the back end, so we know exactly who has done it, who completed the entire thing first. And, you know, sometimes we get like 1 second gap. Oh, wow, what a close call. Yeah, best of luck to you. Best of luck to you. Let me now bring on my guest this morning, Mr. Funsho Doherty, the governorship candidate of the ADC, joins me live on the show this morning. Mr. Funsho, good morning to you.
Good morning.
How are you
today?
Glad
to be here. I'm well, thank you. And you?
I'm okay. I'm fine. It's just that, you know, this weather sometimes can be somehow, but we'll paddle our way through it. Yes, I mean, it's a pleasure to have you here. I've been opportune to listen to you a couple of times. And when I was told that you'll be joining me this morning, I was like, oh, wow, fantastic. Finally, I'll be able to speak with this gentleman. Because you look quite gentle. Do you think you're structured for, you know, the rigors of politics? People see you and they're like, he's a gentle, he has this gentle mien that's, you know, they're not sure that he'll be able to cope with the rigors and all this back and forth of politics.
Yeah, so, I mean, so this is part of the problem, right? So we think that politics should be the exclusive preserve of, you know, maybe ruffians, folks who are, you know, that we don't think of as gentlemen. Well, I mean, you know, if you say I'm a gentleman, I will not argue with you. I think that at the end of the day, what you need in politics, you need to be resolute. You need to have the conviction. You need to have courage. You need to have the will to do the right thing for the people. These are the qualities that good leaders should bring into the political space. To the extent that we've lacked some of that, I think is a big part of why, in many cases, we are where we are. And part of the reason why I have chosen to step into the race is because I believe that not just myself, but others like me should also take that step and give people more options to choose from. Maybe people want a gentleman.
Why the ADC though?
So as you know, we do not have independent candidacies in Nigeria. It was clear to us that we did not want to come on the platform of either of the two main parties. We felt that the process of emerging through those parties is such that by the time you emerge, you lose a lot of the agency that you have to bring change. Because often, as you know and as we've seen in the primary processes for those major parties, a lot of the time the process is either predetermined or requires certain compromises along the way. So it was important for us to have an independent platform in that sense. We engaged a few parties and ultimately made the decision to go with ADC because we thought it gave us the appropriate platform to bring the changes that we wanted to bring for the people of Lagos.
I want to talk to you about the people of Lagos and Lagos itself. One of the major challenges the people of Lagos face is transportation. I mean, people spend as much as 6 hours commuting in a day. That's a lot of time to spend moving around the city. It's a lot of time that has been chipped off your productive hours as a human being every day. How would you suppose this can be addressed?
So the transport problem in Lagos is huge. It's part of the larger infrastructure problem that we face in Lagos. And we have a comprehensive plan for infrastructure. But let me take transport in particular. It is true, as you've said, that we have one of the highest commute times in the world, actually. And beyond some of the factors that you've identified, there are other even unseen consequences of those things. So, for example, air quality, health outcomes, all of those things are actually associated with high commute times when you look at it and you measure it across the world. So there's a lot of hidden cost that we're not even seeing.
That we're not even considering.
That we're not even considering.
We're just looking at the time.
We're just looking at the time and the inconvenience of it. But I see this in two parts in terms of solutions. The first is that we have to use the existing infrastructure that we have. We have to use it well. So part of the problem we have is a general disorder in discipline and lack of orderliness on the roads. Apart from the fact that, you know, we have some bad roads and that creates some problem. But when you combine that with a lack of order on the roads, it's a recipe for chaos. It means that even if you build additional infrastructure, it may not be enough. Because if you have three lanes on a road, and one and a half is overtaken by squatters, traders, etc., people parking where they ought not to park, commercial vehicles essentially being a law unto themselves, that existing infrastructure, even if it were enough, you will not get the benefit of it. So the first thing is to ensure that we restore law and order on our roads. There's a related problem to that, which is the fact that to do that, some of the forces that are active on the roads, government has to curb them. So the activities of some of the touts, the activities of some of the, you know, union agents on the road, government has to have the will and the capacity to deal with them. But if you have a government, such as the government that we have now, that is beholden to these entities because those entities facilitated their coming to power, they will not be able to control those guys. And those guys will have the run of the mill. And you will continue to see chaos and will continue to see the outcome, which is some of this traffic that we're talking about. So those are two elements that fall under the management of the existing
enforce the law and take care of the agents, you know, also causing problems on the road.
Create order on the roads for the use of the existing infrastructure. Now, with respect to new infrastructure,
right,
and addressing what I would call the ongoing challenge of a growing city like Lagos. Basically, government needs to think differently about the transit mechanism for a city like Lagos. Mm. Lagos is a mega city. There's no point deceiving ourselves. We will continue to have a high population. Even with a high population, we should continue to expect that people will continue to come to Lagos. We should just know that and we should plan for it. Now, in doing that,
yeah,
I think there has been an excessive focus on road infrastructure to the detriment of other things that we could benefit from, such as water and rail. Mm. I have lived in coastal cities like Lagos in developed parts of the world. And in the office in which I worked, people came by whatever means was most convenient for them. Mm. Some came by ferry, some came by road, some came by rail. And it's not based on how rich you are or how poor you are.
Mm.
It's just where you live and what is convenient for you. And that way, you have different aspects of the transit mechanism working. In Lagos, for example, mm-hmm. we are blessed with the fact that we have this lagoon that runs, in addition to the coastal waterway.
That's right.
That is a godsend, actually, for transporting people across the state. So we can create axes of waterways that are almost mass transit axes, and then have a robust mechanism for using that to decongest
the roads.
Take, for example, Ikorodu to Epe. Okay. If you were going to go from Ikorodu to Aja by road, it may take you, 3-4 hours, right? Mm. But it's just across a short waterway.
Hmm.
It's a short waterway. It might take you 15 minutes.
15 minutes, that's right.
Yeah. Hmm. So essentially what we need to do, unlike what we have now, which is a lot of small private entities running little boats here and there that don't feel comfortable or safe going on, we need to create a situation where we have robust vessels that people feel comfortable with running key routes and use that to decongest a lot of the daily movement that creates these constrictions that we're talking about. And if we do that, then waterways become a veritable alternative to the road infrastructure. Then we need to look into things like rail.
Okay.
We need to ask the question in Lagos, why is Lagos battling with its rail project, which is just one axis of travel, by the way, for almost 15 years?
Mm.
Why? And this comes back to what we've been saying about leadership within the state, where a lot of these things, we believe, stem from an inability of government to act in the interest of the people and to take actions that are not self-interested and to ensure that those actions that they take ultimately come to the benefit of the people. Mm. There's no reason why we should be building a rail service for 15 years. There's no reason. Other countries who've been doing a similar thing, they've completed it, they've moved on to other things.
Mm.
But here, it's almost shrouded in mystery. We don't know why it's taking 15 years. Who is doing the work? Why is it taking so long? Have we tried to understand why? Have we deployed the right resources? How much have we deployed? If it's not been done, why is it not being done? What actions are being taken? This lack of accountability, lack of transparency, is why we are where we are.
Interesting take there, Mr. Doherty. I'm going to allow our listener to call in and ask you his or her question any moment now. But since we're still on road and transportation, let me quickly just drop this in there. The Okada ban, what's your position on that?
So I think the security and safety of lives of our people is paramount. So I think that where we perceive a high threat to security of life and safety, we should be responsive as an entity and as a government.
Okay.
So as a short-term measure to curb some of these risks, I'm supportive of the ban, personally.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think that it is not enough to say we ban Okadas and just leave it at that forever.
Mm.
we need to examine the problem more closely, understand what the issues are, and then see if there is a role ultimately at some point that Okadas can play in a perhaps in a regulated way.
Okay.
And then we can consider bringing it back. But more importantly, is about how do we help people get around? Because the reason why there are Okadas is because it's convenient for people to get around on Okadas. So if they don't have alternative, then you know it looks like they're being robbed of something that is making things easier for them. So on the one hand, there's perhaps the convenience of it, but there's also the security aspect of it. And security is paramount in the short term, but it's not about just making blanket statements in the short term and not following through on actually the solutions, the longer term solutions that we need to put into place. Part of the role that Okadas play is in the last mile of what they call the last mile of transit.
That's right.
Right. So if you have mass transit to a particular point, then from that point to your ultimate destination is the last mile. And that's the role that Okadas are playing. So what other last mile options can we as government give to people to make it convenient for them to move around?
The government released what they call last mile buses, those small buses. But the complaints I've received is that those buses aren't seen everywhere or can't be found everywhere.
Yeah, and it might take a while for such a thing to go around. But I think also it's not we have to think more broadly. And because, you know, we're in a modern society, so we have to look at modern options. What are other cities doing? So you have cities that are giving people multiple options, right? Big cities like Lagos. So if you went to New York, for example, one of the things you'll find is that the use of bicycles is actually ubiquitous. Right? And these are provided in a way where people can, they don't have to even own the bicycles. They can access the bicycles, move around, and then drop off the bicycles. And there's a way in which that is sort of paid for and managed in an orderly way, right? Does it mean that that cannot be one of the elements of the solution in Lagos? There's no reason why not. We just have to think broadly. We have to bring our thinking into the modern world, right? And then think about what are the various ways in which that, for example, might be a very good option for a place like Victoria Island, where a lot of people come into to work during the day and then go away at the end of the day. And we just have to figure out how to manage our other infrastructure to ensure that we have various pieces that of the puzzle that then come together to create a solution that works for the people.
I want to talk to you about youth employment, unemployment, cult gang, cultism, all of those things in Lagos. Lagos has seen, maybe not critically been looking at it, but it's something that has been nesting for years now, and people are hoping that we don't get to see the full-blown consequence of the cultism, cult activities, urban gangs in Lagos, you know, where you hear 1 million boys. Is it 1 million of you? What do they call those boys? Awawa boys. They have their names in different parts. I've seen, you know, conductors, bus conductors talk about these things and they talk about it openly. No fear, nothing. It shows how widely spread this problem is, but we are not looking at it as a problem right now. The issue of drugs is also there. Drugs has found its way into, you would not believe it, our primary schools in Lagos here. So we're seeing myriads of problems incubating,
yes,
without even knowing it.
Yes. So it's a very valid point, and actually it's a problem that many cities struggle with. You know, some of these are ills that, you know, we see proliferating among the youth. I would say that there are many sort of components to what a solution might be to a problem like this. First of all, as you said, is to recognize it early, that you have such a problem, or that such a problem might be developing, and to have a comprehensive solution for it. But, you know, fundamentally, fundamentally, anywhere where you have a youth bulge, such as we have in Lagos, okay, and in Nigeria,
okay,
and where you have a proliferation of joblessness, right, and you have a high degree of poverty, people who don't have access to reasonable means of livelihood, it's going to be associated with an increase in crime, an increase in the use of drugs, those kinds of things. It's accepted and known.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, the solution to this problem is to ensure that we manage our economy and society in such a way that we are not increasing inequality in the society, but that we are ensuring that the resources of the society are going round, and the people generally are benefiting from the use of those resources. Because when you do that, you then create a prosperous society.
Right.
You create a society in which jobs are created, people can find means of livelihood, and then you are left with a residual problem, which is a much smaller problem, which you then have to deal with.
Please hold your thought. Let's take this break. We need to head out. After this break, we'll talk some more Lagos. Stay here. Funchal Doherty of the ADC is here with us this morning on Road to 2023 Nigeria Info. Welcome back to Crossfire here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. A very lovely morning to you. If you just tuned in, we'll be with you. Welcome. We have less than 30 minutes left on the show today. I have the governorship candidate of the African Democratic Congress, ADC, on the show, Funchal Doherty. And we've been rubbing minds. We've been, you know, chatting on Lagos as our topic this morning, as expected. So feel free to call and ask your questions right now. All I just ask for is let me ask one more, and I can go to the telephone line and start taking your calls. 0700-993-993-993. That's our telephone line this morning. So feel free to call in and ask him your question. Mr. Funchal, thank you again for coming around.
Thank you, Sherry, for having me.
Lagos is quite a very special state, if I may use center of excellence. You have quite a number of things that happen in Lagos that can't happen anywhere else. And so everything, even politics, is played in Lagos differently from the way it's played anywhere else. Elections 2023 near, very close. Do you think anything can change? What do you think Lagos is up against in 2023?
So I think that definitely things can change. I think that Lagos is actually in play. What do I mean by that? First of all, you started off by saying Lagos Center of Excellence. Yes, that's our state slogan. But I think if you look at the evidence, it is clear today that Lagos is not demonstrating excellence. We just about 6 or 8 weeks ago saw the release of the Economist Intelligence Unit Global Livability Rankings that ranks cities across the globe. 172 cities, Lagos was ranked 171, last but one. And this is a ranking that is a comprehensive ranking of infrastructure, health, education, culture and environment, and stability. That's quality of life of people right there. It's comprehensive. And they say you are last but one. It's not Funchal Doherty's ranking. It's not Sherif Kwade's ranking. It's a global ranking. So that is clearly, that's not excellence. So people need to realize that the fact that they feel a quality of life that is poor in Lagos is not just their imagination. It is real. And that the way they fix it is by selecting leaders that can make a difference. Now, to bring it back to your question about 2023, I believe that the choice of who governs Lagos is squarely in the hands of the people of Lagos in 2023, in a way in which it has never been before. They really have the opportunity in 2023, and it's a golden opportunity. Why do I say so? In 2019, the present administration, led by Governor Sanwo-Olu, came to power with 700,000 votes. He won Lagos with 700,000 votes. That is about 15% of the entire registered voters of about 6.5 million.
Mm.
That means for every one person who came to vote, five people stayed away from voting. So it's only a narrow minority that ended up choosing the people who are currently running Lagos.
Mm.
And in 2023, if more people come out, if two out of those five, for example, that did not vote in 2019, come out, we'll have three times the number of voters that we had in 2019. If only one comes out, we will double the number of voters.
True.
So, and as you have observed, and as many others have observed, there is a much greater involvement, energy, fervor, participation this time around than in previous elections.
Mm.
We see that reflected in many ways, including in the OB phenomenon. And so, really, in such a situation, if the people come out in 2023, anything can happen. Anything can happen. And I think people are increasingly fed up. People are increasingly saying that, look, we have been told by the government of the day that Lagos is working. We know by the lives that we lead and what we see and what we endure every day that Lagos is not working for us. So the government is not seeing what we are seeing. And clearly, they don't have our interest at heart. This is my view.
Okay. All right. Let me come and take thoughts right now. We're streaming on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3 on those two platforms. That's Nigeria Info 99.3. Let me know what you think. If you're calling me, please turn off your radio, okay? Good morning to you.
Hey, Oluwaseri.
Good morning to you. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you.
Okay, my name is Adenosi Patrick. I'm calling from Lekki.
You're welcome, sir.
Good morning, our guest.
Good morning. Good morning.
Sheriff.
Yes, sir.
Since I've been listening to interviews, proffering solutions relating to managing the transport sector of Lagos, I have never had anyone this detailed. And so if this he has put on the table can be implemented, I can tell you that in less than 1 week, there will be zero queues and 6 hours, like you said earlier, time being spent in our traffic. So, sir.
Yes, sir.
You have well spoken. You have put all of these on the table. Beyond you being the candidate of ADC.
Yes.
What is the position of your party in the legislators? Because if you come in and the current legislators are the one that is there, they won't be able to function well.
Yes, that's a good observation.
Good morning.
That's a good observation.
Thank you, Adenosi.
Thank you, thank you. That's a good observation. Indeed, we understand that, and we have a full ticket. We have legislators across the state for the State House of Assembly who are running on the same ballot, you know, what they call the damn ballot in modern parlance. But we have legislators across all of those constituencies. And as you know, the governorship election and the State House of Assembly elections are actually on the same day. So it's almost you're voting in the same direction on the same day. We have a comprehensive program for Lagos. We will bring the machinery into place to accomplish the policies that we are bringing. This is not academic, and we are not about talk. We are about results.
Indeed. Let's take another call. We have all our lines buzzing at the moment. Nigeria Info, good morning. Oh, we lost our call already. Let's take another one. Nigeria Info, good morning to you. That's gone as well. Let's take this one then. Good morning to you.
Thank you.
Please turn off your radio. Thank you. Yes, miss. Morning.
Hello?
Yes, come on. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, miss.
My name is Charles. I'm calling from Ikorodu.
Mr. Charles, welcome.
Yeah, I've listened to the aspirant there. But I just want to ask two questions.
Please go on.
We all know the peculiarity of voting in Lagos. And then the thug factor.
The thug factor.
What is your party doing to deal with the thug factor? Two. Secondly, we also know that there's tactical disenfranchisement, you know, in elections. Does your party have the machinery to also tackle this? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Charles.
Thank you, Mr. Charles. Good questions. I think that, yes, some of the things you've identified are problems that that have been noted. I will say that, yeah, though they have been noted in Lagos, there are probably places in Nigeria where it is actually even worse than we've seen in Lagos. But having said that, I think that this is an area that is everybody's responsibility. Yes, we have a party structure on the ground. Yes, we have, you know, party members and agents who will be out there. But at the end of the day, the real weapon against this thing is if people come out en masse to exercise their mandates. Because these thugs, or whatever you want to call them, numerically, if you think about them numerically in relation to the electorate, in whichever local government you talk about, there are a few, right? So if the people come out en masse, and even if you ask them, they will tell you the same thing, that it is the complicity, complicity, perhaps the risk aversion of the people and the unwillingness of the people to come out and express fully their mandate that gives them the room to now do those things that they are doing. If people come out en masse, there's much greater awareness today. 2023 has the potential to be very, very different. People just need to understand it, believe it, insist on it, right? And then come out and take it, because it is theirs for the taking. Look, this thing about democracy, what happens is that every 4 years, the government hands power back to the people. That's what the law has made. That is the grace that God has given us in this democratic process. Every 4 years, the government has to come back and hand it back to the people. It is now up to the people to now choose, what are they going to do with it? Are they going to hand it back to people that are giving it to them because they are comfortable and happy with what those people are doing? Or are they going to look for where else to repose that trust for the next 4 years?
Let me take this message here that says, I believe lack or inefficiency in the use of waterways in places like Etiosa, Ibeji, Ikorodu was intentional. I personally respect the Onufashola, but I really don't like why he built jetties in most local government areas but were not commissioned. Reason, it will reduce tollgate and NUSW revenue, which is part of the principal leader's source. That is this message. That's what this message reads here. Let's take another one here. From Radio Mouth in Calgary. Radio Mouth says, I know we may not be ready for e-bikes and electric scooters, but they are very functional in the city I am resident in the moment. That person attesting to what you said earlier.
Absolutely.
Let's go back to telephone. Good morning to you. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, please. Good morning.
Yes, sir. My name is Adedipe Suraj James from Lekki, Japande Estate, precisely.
You're welcome.
I've listened to the speaker well, and I have the fear, of him coming out from the DC. I want to watch him, because everybody loves.
Sorry, Suraj, can you repeat yourself? We could barely hear you. You say you have the fear of what? Suraj?
The votes of Lagosians.
Oh no, I we didn't get that.
Somebody coming out,
Suraj, please.
I'm 100% coming out of the ADC now.
Oh, I'm really sorry. I'm struggling to understand what you're trying to say. Did you get that?
No, I didn't. Okay. I tried, but
I tried. Let's take another call. Good morning to you. Good morning. You're on the radio now. Okay, I think we can move on. Let's take another call then. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, we can hear you. Please go on. Good morning.
Yeah, my name is David Smith, and I'm calling from Ikorodu.
Mr. Smith, welcome.
Yeah, I've been listening to Mr. Funsho Dohati.
Okay.
Let me first of all greet him. Good morning, sir.
Mr. Smith, how are you doing?
I'm very fine, sir. I've been listening to you, all your interview and your speeches. I am grateful that God brought you out to help Lagos. But I want to say something concerning Ikorodu as it. All the government that have been coming into power in Lagos, it seems as if they have abandoned Ikorodu. They will come and start up a project, and suddenly the project will just end here. Ishawo Road is not completed, it's abandoned. Igberigbe Road is not completed, it's abandoned. Igbobo Road is not completed, it's abandoned. I just want to know, what will be your plan for Ikorodu when you come into power? And I know by the grace of God, God will help you and will help us to vote.
Oshé, we are not campaigning here. Oshé, come and be going. I'm alone. Mr. Doherty, which is actually part of what we said we're going to talk about, state of infrastructure, the roads, buildings, the infrastructure generally in Lagos. I mean, the good one that he said now is Ikorodu. I mean, if you've been to Ikorodu, there's What's this floating city called in Lagos? You know, where people live, Makoko, you know, the largest floating city, a slum, if you like, in the entire West Africa. These are areas where human beings live. You can barely see government presence in these areas. The roads in the Ikorodu are just horrible state. Exactly, this question. How would you suppose government tackle the infrastructure deficit in Lagos?
So I think that government needs to approach infrastructure from multiple dimensions. It's important to, first of all, if you have the resources of the state concentrated in the center, and the decision-making around that is all in the center, right? If the right allocation decisions are not made, certain places will be neglected. You see what I mean? But if you decentralize the decision-making right around that, then some of the resources will always be close to the people of every locality. You see what I mean? And people will then understand what are the needs of those communities.
Right.
And then deploy within those communities. So part of it is empowering the local governments who understand the needs of the people who are close to the people to make those judgments, right? Part of the problem that you have is that the leadership in those local governments are, as you know, the local government elections are controlled by the state as opposed to INEC.
Yeah, the SIEC.
Yes, so the SIEC. So at the end of the day, the leadership that emerges in the local governments reflects the almost the choices of the center, right? So it depends on what the center is solving for in choosing those leaders. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
If the center is solving for good leadership, right? It may make one set of judgments. If it is solving, on the other hand, for loyalty of whoever is there, whether the person has the capacity to do the work or not, they will make a different choice. And that will impact the lives of the people. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So ultimately, it comes back to this question of what is the motivation of the leaders that you elect? Is the motivation of the leaders that you elect to do everything within their power to further the interests of the people and then deploy resources broadly to achieve that objective? Or is their objective essentially to control the resources of government substantially for self-interest and then use the residual for the people? Those are two very different scenarios. And the people of Lagos, and indeed across Nigeria, in 2023 have the option of assessing their leaders on those grounds,
right,
and then making a judgment.
Indeed. So, Doherty, we're going to take just one call before we go this morning. Let's take just one call, and that will be our final call. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry.
Morning to you.
Good morning to your guest.
Good morning, sir.
This is Pastor Ladipo calling from Orilegum. My question to your guest is this. Looking at the issue of insecurity in Lagos State,
okay,
what is your take and what can we do better? And lastly, your party, I don't think they have presence in every local government in Lagos.
In Lagos, okay.
If true, let us know. Thank you.
All right. So before you jump on that, okay, well, let's jump on that very quickly because I have my own last question.
Okay. All right. So the issue of security. Now, so security is a collective responsibility, but obviously government has a big role to play in that process. We believe that, you know, you have to strengthen community policing.
Okay.
We also have to, as a state, strengthen the forces that are the security forces, whether they are federal forces or whatever that exists within the state to drive security. But it's also important that we use technology. In a modern city like Lagos, everywhere in the world, it is technology that is being used to support the deployment of security. I can speak more about this, but I see we are...
Yeah, we really have to go now. Mr. Doherty, for sure, thank you so much for coming on the show today. That's where we'll leave it. Thank you so much for coming.
You're very welcome, Sheriff. Thank you.
I'm Sheriff Quadri. That's our show.